Finally, one day, I made it down into the subcellar of Schuf's Dalmont and spent 3 hours watching Saman eat lunches. He made the trip almost every day, but not always at the same time. If the weather was fine and the time of day was right, he would sit on the parapet, spread out some food on a little cloth, and enjoy the view while he ate. Sometimes he read a book. I couldn't identify all of his little morsels and delicacies, but they looked better than what we had for lunch. Sometimes, if the wind blew out of the northeast, we could smell the Ida cooking. It always seemed as if they were taunting us. "Results!" I proclaimed to Leo the next time I was alone with him in the meadow. Sort of.
"Yeah?"
"You were right, I think."
"Right about what?"
For so much time had passed that he had forgotten our earlier talk about Saman. I had to remind him. Then he was taken aback.
"Wow,"
he said.
"This is big."
"Could be. I still don't know what to make of it," I said.
"What does he do? Hold up a sign in front of the eye? Use sign language?"
"Saman's too clever for that," I said.
"What? It sounds like you're speaking of an old friend."
"I almost feel that way about him by this point. He and I have had a lot of lunches together."
"So how does he... did he talk to you?"
"For the first 68 days, he's a real bore," I said. "Then on day 69, something happens."
"Day 69? What does that mean to the rest of us?"
"Well, it's about 2 weeks after the solstice and 9 days before Orlo got thrown back."
"Okay. So what does Saman do on day 69?
"Well, normally when he gets to the top of the stair, he unslings a bag from his shoulder and hangs it around a stone knob that sticks up from the parapet there. He cleans the optics, then he goes over and sits on the parapet. It has a flat top about a foot wide, and takes his lunch out of that bag and spreads it out there and eats it."
"Okay. What happens on day 69?
"In addition to the shoulder bag, he is carrying something cradled in one arm like a book. The first thing he does is set this down on the parapet. Then he goes about his usual routine."
"So it's sitting there in plain view of the eye."
"Exactly."
"Can you zoom in on it?"
"Of course."
"Can you read its title?"
"Turns out it's not a book at all, Leo. It is another dust jacket, just like the one Saman found up there the first day, except this one is big and heavy because it contains..."
"Another tablet,"
Leo exclaimed, then paused to consider it.
"I wonder what that means."
"Well, we have to assume he had just picked it up elsewhere in the Starhenge."
"He doesn't leave it there, I assume."
"No. When he's finished eating, he takes it with him."
"I wonder why he had choose that day of all days to snatch a tablet."
"Well, I'm thinking it must have been around day 69 that Frost Bellicon's investigation of Orlo really began to pick up steam. Now, you might remember that when I sneaked up there during the Anathem on day 78, I checked the M&M
and found it empty,"
Leo said with a nod.
"So on day 69, Spellicom probably ordered Saman to fetch the tablet that Orlo had left in the M&M, which Saman did. But Spellicom didn't know about the one you'd put in Clesthra's eye, so he didn't ask for it."
"But Saman knew," I reminded him. "He had noticed it on day 2.
"And had made up his mind not to tell Spellicom. But on day 69, he didn't try to hide the fact that he had just grabbed Orlo's tablet."
Leo shook his head.
"I don't get it. Why would he risk letting you know that?"
I threw up my hands. "Maybe it's not such a risk for him. He's already Ida. What can they do to him?"
"Good point. They can't be nearly as afraid of the Warden Regulant as we are."
I was a little bit irritated to be reminded that we were afraid, but considering all of the skulking around I'd been doing lately, I couldn't argue. I'd been getting better, I realized, recovering from the loss of Fra Orlo, forgetting how sad and angry I was. And when Leo mentioned the Warden Regulant, it reminded me. Anyway, there was a long silence now as Leo assimilated all of this. We actually got some work done. On the weeds, I mean.
"Well,"
he finally said,
"what happens after that?"
"Day 70, cloudy. Day 71, snowing. Day 72, snowing. Can't see anything because the lens is covered. Day 73, it's brilliant weather. Most of the snow has melted off by the time Saman gets there. He cleans the place up and has lunch. He's wearing goggles.
Like sunglasses?
Bigger and thicker.
Like what mountain climbers wear?
That's what I thought at first, I said. Actually, I had to watch Day 73 several times before I got it.
Got what?
Leo asked.
It was bright. There was snow. He wore dark goggles.
Really dark, I said. I don't think that these were ordinary goggles like an outdoorsman would wear. I've seen these goggles before, Leo. When I saw Cord and Saman in the machine hall during Appert, they were wearing these things to shield their eyes from the arc. An arc that's as bright as the sun.
But why would Saman suddenly start wearing such a getup to clean the lenses?
He doesn't actually have them on while he's cleaning. They're dangling around his neck on a strap, I said. Then he puts them on and eats his lunch as usual, but the entire time that he's eating, he's staring directly into the sun. Saman is watching the sun!
And he never did this before Day 69?
Nope, never.
So do you think that he learned something?
Something from Fra Orlo's tablet, maybe? I said. Or something Spellicon told him? Or perhaps Scuttlebutt from Other Ida and Other Consents, talking or whatever they do over the reticulum.
Why watch the sun? That is completely off the track of what you've been doing, isn't it?
Completely. But it's something. It is a big fat hint. A gift from Saman.
So, have you started looking at the sun, too?
I don't have goggles, I reminded him. But I do have 20-odd clear sunny days recorded on that tablet. So, starting tomorrow, I can at least look at what the sun was doing 3 and 4 months ago.